Hello there, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Welcome to the Sith List.
And here we go.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy.
I know this is hard for you, but winter is coming.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am the danger.
Avengers!
Assemble.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Who's scruffy looking?
Less.
Might wanna buckle up, baby.
Close. Smash you.
King Kong.
Hey guys, you ever see that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back?
And of course, Randy.
Change? Yep. Big change.
They got your weekend geek covered. And you're on the Sith List.
Welcome to episode number 368 of the Sith List. I am one of your five hosts today. We're down one. King Tom Chansky, King of All Pods, will not be with us tonight, but we're hoping that he will be with us next week. We love you, King Tom, and hope to see you next week. But we do have the young, the restless, the bearded one, Mr. Carlos.
Boo Arguello.
The man we call Crunch Crunch, who brought us back to the year 1999 during our pre-show Patreon episode. The music of 1999, was it good? No. Was it bad? Yeah, but we loved it. Les Gonzalez, what's up, buddy?
I apologize to our Patreon listeners. I'm sorry, but you know what? It was fun.
It was good content. It was really good content. Yes. Smash Mouth. Boy, oh boy, were they big back then. Speaking of big back then, what's up, Randy?
How's it going? I miss back then.
Good. How you doing? What's going
on?
So
big dude? Back then.
You were so big.
Nothing much. I was so big.
You're still big, buddy. In my book.
Thanks.
But you know who's bigger? The man we call El Hombre. Eric Struthers. Did you guys hear an echo, by the way?
No.
At all? No?
Nope.
All right. I'm hearing things, man. Hearing things. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing awesome and fantastic.
Well, I am excited that you're doing awesome and fantastic. That's phenomenal. Guys, yeah, we're missing King Tom, but we are going to forge on. Like I said in the Patreon episode, there's the show obviously came out, Love is Blind. Brazil is out, and we're very excited about, you know, breaking it down, Easter eggs and all that great stuff. Just kidding, guys. Ahsoka came out episodes 1 and 2, and we have a lot to talk about with that. Other than that, we have nothing else. So it's going to be a very much Ahsoka show, but we got some bits. Boo, you got some bits?
Always.
Okay, there you go. Very confident right there. How's everybody doing? Boo, I'm going to start with you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
All right. Well, hey, that's good. Randy, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Raj.
Wow, you froze for a second, and then you just came out of nowhere hot, and it was a little scary for a second there, buddy. But I'm glad you're doing good. Eric, you got to give me a story, man. You got to have a story. It's got to be a story.
Nobody's got to get off the top of my head. Oh, I got one for you.
There you go.
I knew it. So I was talking to my son, and I don't remember what we got on the subject of. And I said, made some crack about, yeah, because old dad's fat or something like that. And he goes, Dad, I don't look at you. I don't care that you're fat.
Oh.
He had to roll it back twice.
But then he goes, shit. When I think of you, I think of how good a care you take of our family.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, buddy. But you also called me fat.
You also said I'm fat, though, man.
You little jerk.
Les, how you doing? Everything going good?
Sorry, I had to mute myself. Everything's going good. Yeah, doing great, man.
Good.
Kind of need you to get to the box office so I can talk about what I saw this weekend.
Ooh, okay. I saw something too, but it wasn't what you saw. I was in Vegas this weekend and we went as a family and it was a lot of fun. And we stayed off the strip and I had a blast. So if you ever think about going to Vegas and you want just to go get that resort kind of like relaxing feel, go to a place called Red Rocks. Or Red Rock, I think it's called. It's a resort and casino. It has everything you need in one place. Bowling alley. It has movie theaters. It's really high end, like high end, with a bowling alley too. Yeah, you wouldn't think, but really nice. Great restaurants. Red Rock. They're sponsoring this episode, by the way.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I think we should get into the box office because Les saw something. I saw something. Let's do the box office.
Now it's time for box office.
All right, box office. Let's press it.
Here's Johnny.
I know it was you, Fredo.
Weekend box office results from RottenTomato.com. Thank you to the tomato. Blue Beetle finally dethrones Barbie. WB's latest, when you say WB's, it sounds like the network. Warner Brothers' latest DC superhero flick managed to oust the studio's own box office champ of the summer, but it has a long way to go to be a moneymaker. Oof, sorry, Blue Beetle. You did good, but not that good, I guess. $25.4 million for Blue Beetle. Barbie, $21.5 million, so right on its heels. Oppenheimer, $10.6 million. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, $8.4 million. And then Strays at $8.3 million. So I know that Barbie is at $1.3 billion. And Oppenheimer is almost at $800 million, I believe, at this point. So, Les, I know. Yeah. You saw Blue Beetle.
Yes.
I got somebody that saw it at work, and they gave me their take. So let me hear your take.
It's very entertaining. Very good.
Okay.
In my opinion, Cholo Maraduena is a star. That dude needs to either, they need to keep Blue Beetle around, or Marvel needs to poach him. Simple as that.
Get him.
Yeah. Or Star Wars, like Lucasfilm could use him as something, I'm sure. You know, the kid is a star. It's kind of weird to see Mexican American culture in Miami. And
but he was Guatemalan, I thought, throughout the entire movie.
No.
Okay. No. Somebody that saw it told me that there's nothing but Guatemalan stuff because he was Guatemalan.
Ooh, I may have to double check that.
yeah.
They did the whole, and I hate to do that, but as it was a good look at the Latin family.
Right.
Okay, Latin American family.
Yeah, sure. Hispanic, Latinx.
And you could tell, like, I felt it even had, like, generational representations. It was, like, the grandparent who is still kind of got the old ways, you know, and then the parents that, you know, that her kids who struggled and did what they had to do to make it work here, you know. Then the kids who are American as heck, you know, like they the accent's gone, it's English is their first language, you know, you can just tell, like, okay, these are American kids. And, you know, so that was cool, but the villain and all that stuff, not really cool. But you know what, just to get Blue Beetle on the screen is basically, for me, what I've said this before and episodes way back, that it's good for comics and comic book movies whenever there's a new character and they can pull it off. Really do help. I mean, hope that things come together, that, you know, the studios and the writers come together and get something good done, because, and something fair, obviously, because we need more of this. We need another sequel. We need them to either keep the character alive and keep the star alive. Keep the star in the franchise, because he could make a great appearance in an actual movie, like a Young Justice or something like that, which in the Young Justice cartoons, he's part of the team. And I think he's part of the team in the books. I think it's led by Damian, if I'm not mistaken, as Rob, but pretty fun. I thought it was fun. The only thing missing was a cup of noodles, the maruchan. That's the only thing that was missing for me.
That wasn't there?
It wasn't there.
I heard the music was on. It was generational too. They had like everything.
They mixed everything, yeah. And he even did like, they gave a nod to all the Latin families that watched the novelas. They had that in there. So it had a pretty good, nice touch.
Okay. Yeah. Complete opposite of the review I got today.
Of course.
But that's okay. It's okay. The review I got today by one of my fellow employees was, why? That's what he said. He said that I've seen Iron Man and I just saw DC just fake an Iron Man. That's what he said. All right. He said even the villain had like things like the villain in Iron Man. Is that true, Les?
Did he have things? First and foremost, these are the same people who say Cyborg is Iron Man. You know, like, there are obvious differences. I get it. People want to just
was like, eh.
No, I've heard that too. I'm not agreeing that Cyborg is Iron Man. I just haven't heard that in a while, and it's like, oh yeah, that's, I've heard that.
This is the same argument, you know, that people just quickly generalize and compare. Yes, there are a lot of ripoffs. There are a lot of deviations, but that's not Iron Man is not an alien. Like, it's not an alien suit.
Hey man,
like,
I have no idea.
That's a main difference right away.
I take your representation more to heart.
That is the main difference, but that's what happens, and that's where people give it a bad review. Because
hey, here's the shitty thing, and this is unfortunate because of the strike. These actors and these directors, these writers, these producers weren't able to sell this thing to go to junkets, and it's really unfortunate for everybody that was involved, and that was really shitty, especially because the representation was there. We have Hispanic, Latinx. Superhero, which is rad, but yeah, it's kind of shitty that this all went down. Hey man, I really like that kid. I love that kid in Cobra Kai, so I'm hoping the best for everything. And I know James Gunn really liked the story because he let it still go and he was all about it, but unfortunately it's not making a lot of money, and that kind of sucks. But I did watch something that made a ton of money. I watched Barbie this weekend. And I watched it. I was going to watch Barbie and I was going to watch Oppenheimer and I was going to watch Mission Impossible all 3 days in a row. I didn't get to do that. I just watched Barbie because Oppenheimer now is only playing at one time a day where I was trying to see the movie. But man, oh man, I really enjoyed it, dude. I enjoyed Barbie a lot. I thought it was done so well. It knew what it was. It was like satire, but we're going to like throw so much cheese on this thing, but at the same time it was stupid but so smart at the same time, and I love that about it. And things got, you know, the message was phenomenal. It was really, really good, man. I really enjoyed it. I know you saw it, Boo, and you really liked it. I know Randy saw it. Eric, unless you haven't seen it, have you?
No, I haven't seen it. I definitely want to though.
Yeah, very, very cool. Great message too. Margot Robbie is just phenomenal at everything she does. And there's a part in the movie, I'm not really spoiling anything, but you guys will remember, there's a part where she looks at the person that she's talking to and she says, I am awful and I'm not pretty. I'm not pretty anymore. And then Helen Mirren, who narrates the entire movie, goes, well, this is where the director made a big mistake casting Margot Robbie, because she cannot not be pretty.
Essentially, yeah.
And the theater just laughed their asses off. And Lorraine is like, exactly. Lorraine's like, I was about to say something. Like, there's no way this woman cannot be pretty.
Right.
But it was done very, very well. And great. God, what a great message. What a great message. And Will Ferrell was classic Ferrell. Like, he was classic Ferrell in it. Yeah, he's great. So I saw that. I'm trying to think of it. Did I see anything else? I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it. I've been binging these Untold Story Netflix documentaries, the sports ones. And like I said last week, oh man, there's a new one about steroids and baseball. I think Boo and Les and, I mean, everybody, I think you guys will like it. They're done really well. Those Untold Stories, if you haven't seen them, check them out. Anybody see anything else? Yeah, steroids is really good. I'm about it too. I'm about that world.
Makes you fast.
I just wish I used them. Yeah. Did you watch anything else?
What?
You were going to go into the Podcast Hall of Fame, Randy, but they found out you did steroids and they said no.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. He was really big in 99. Consecutive podcasts. Yeah. They didn't know in 99 that he was doing roids. That's why he was big. And now it's like, no, sir, we're not voting you in. But we're going to get a golden mic. I was going to give you a golden mic.
Well, they noticed when my head started getting really big.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, figuratively and in real life.
Oh, yeah, figuratively as well.
Yeah, as well, yes. Did you watch anything at all, guys? Anybody? No? I love to see that documentary, Untold Stories, Randy Legere. Steroids?
Steroids, yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Look at the size of his cranium.
Look at his head.
And look at his size of his schlong. Went very small.
Oh,
sweet Christmas. All right, let's move on. So nobody watched anything. All right, let's just get to what we all want to get to.
I show up.
Love is... No. You have to. You have a streak going, remember? You're not going to get your golden mic.
Yeah.
Greetings. This is Grand Admiral Thrawn aboard the ISS Chimera. You are currently listening to the Sith List. I know a great deal about you because of this artistic choice. May warrior's fortune smile upon your efforts.
Well, 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 let's talk about Ahsoka, right? That's the whole deal. We just got to see the first two episodes of this phenomenal series, and it's going to be coming out on Tuesday nights now. It's at a reasonable human being time for the people in the States. Congratulations, us. But yes. Nito followed by Benito was quite good. And listen, I'm sure that you have all talked about it a lot. The only thing I want to throw out there, and I realize this is like lighting a fuse, but then cutting it off and lighting it closer, it's going to drop a bomb right in the middle of this. The one thing I want to point out, and this is just, I don't know, maybe I'm dreaming, but in the scene where it's the hologram of the Inquisitor and then the two, whatever we're calling them, the mercenaries, right? One of them says the line, there aren't that many Jedi around anymore, or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then it fades out. The last one visible is the Inquisitor. That head is still visible and then goes away after the others are already completely gone. And, you know, let's face it, anybody who's ever seen a creative make a piece of film, there's always something to every moment like that. So what do you think that means? That's what the real question is. Forget everything else about the show.
Everything else doesn't matter.
Right. Nope, nothing. Just that one thing.
I wasn't aware of this.
You think they're Inquisitors?
I don't know. Let's think.
Well, the two aren't. The unhelmeted ones.
They're not Inquisitors.
I don't think they're Inquisitors.
I think they would have just outright just said it. There's no benefit to hiding something like that or keeping something.
But
like
the helmeted that. One that's got
that dude's an Inquisitor for sure. Yeah.
But
that's exactly
where I was going to go with it. Recall, a whole bunch of people were saying that, man, what if that's Ezra in there? Blah blah blah.
Right.
And listen, I haven't given much like credence to such things, but I will say that face was the last one visible in that deal.
My Perdar didn't go off though.
Yeah.
I hurt myself.
Anyhow, are you hearing yourself too?
Oh yeah.
That's weird. Let's press pause. All right. So Eric, you were saying something?
I don't remember. What was I saying?
You were talking about Ezra being the Inquisitor, and I think that's it.
I don't think that's the direction they're gonna go. I really don't. I can't imagine Dave Filoni decide to do that with one of his most beloved characters. Well, let's just talk about the series as a whole.
Let's talk about the series.
I just want to.
There is another rumor, though. There's another theory out there that they could be the Knights of Ren, especially the style of Jedi that she's busting out and doing those crazy. So they could be the on the beginnings of the Knights of
Precursors.
Ren. Precursors is the word.
Precursors too.
Mm-hmm. Sinister Agents is very cool, by the way, that they're called Sinister Agents.
I think they're really cool characters.
Mm-hmm.
I really like see the internet's crushing over the lady, and she's pretty badass.
She is badass.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in here, and I'll just kind of go in no particular order, but the stuff that actually surprised me, like I never saw coming, was the what's her name, Morgan Elsbeth, mm-hmm. that she's a Night Sister or descendant.
Yeah, that was cool.
I did not see that coming at all.
What was she called, Eric, in The Mandalorian? She was called the Magistrate?
Magistrate, I think.
Magistrate, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I was surprised by that. And then to even hear the name and see the you know, like the green smoky stuff coming out. There's some pretty cool nods to like to Mortis in the unlocking of the map. There was the Night Sister Temple that Ahsoka went to get that map thing. You know, that looked to me quite a bit like something that you would have seen on like Fallen Order.
Well, it's exactly, I saw a thing where they took that almost exactly from Fallen Order, right? It wasn't the Night Sister's temple, but it was another temple that you had to go in and do similar things, correct? For you guys that played
the first one, yeah.
Yeah, and the first one, yeah. Very cool nod to that. Very cool.
I think Sabine as a character was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was surprisingly right. I like how well they kind of like embodied like her kind of like slyness.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her attitude. I liked her tongue-in-cheek sense of humor of not showing up at the thing, and I liked that she jumped on the speeder bike and they were playing Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
That's a first punk rock song.
It was either going to be that or it was going to be We Got the Beat. It was going to be one of the two.
It's a great song,
but the music and I don't know, man. I thought that was really cool because it felt like it fit in universe, but it also felt like relatable to us. You know, it was cool seeing Lothal in live action.
Yeah, it really was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool seeing an opening crawl, even though it was shaped differently.
And it was red. And in the last season of Clone Wars, the titles were red, is what I read. And I went back and looked, and they were. And the rest of the series was not like that. It was only the final up. Yeah.
Yeah, we had the really cool ship shots. I thought all in all, like the visual effects were pretty good. Some of them looked very CG. Like a real long shot of the ship coming at you and then going past the camera, it looked like computer graphics. It looked something more like you would have seen in Tron.
Okay, because I felt the opposite. I thought it was real. Like I still think it's up there.
Yeah, I thought that was actual real ship.
Maybe it could be. I thought the
maybe it could be
the Loth Cat was pretty cute. It looked mostly real.
Hey, that very much impressed me because I wasn't a fan of the Loth Cat during the show, and I never thought they could really bring it out in real live action. And there's one at Galaxy's Edge, this sleeping in a cage, which is pretty cool. This one looked really cool.
Yeah.
The question though, Eric, did she communicate with the Loth Cat before she went in? Did she look at the cat and say, hey, is he pretty much here? Because she gave the cat a look and the cat hung out and then she turned around real quick. So did she communicate with that animal? I guess a question I can ask Dave Filoni someday. Dave is very much into that kind of stuff.
I had to look this up, but Ahsoka's ship identification number, because it was ended in 1974. I'm like, okay, plainly that's somebody's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Filoni's.
Oh, got it.
And let's see, what else?
So you're saying no on the Loth Cat. Okay.
I'm just trying to skip right past that.
Okay.
I told you, I just gave you the shrug. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just for podcasting. The shrug doesn't really work.
Just kidding.
I'm just.
That's fair.
That's fair. I'm just saying.
That's fair. Now I've totally lost my train of thought. Thanks a lot, man.
It's okay.
Somebody talk about it. What were your thoughts on the show?
The score, Eric. Let's talk about music because the score was phenomenal.
Oh my gosh, it was very, very good. I liked the approach they took to it. I liked hearing sort of like our world organic instruments. You know, it wasn't just symphonic. A lot of very obvious synth driven orchestral-esque, but intentionally not, oh, this is a synth engine trying to sound like an orchestra. It wasn't anything like that. It was, you know, guitars and everything else. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. I really liked hearing that.
Yeah, the Kiners. This was Ralph Kiner, but was Ralph Kiner? Is it Kevin Kiner? What's his name?
It's Kevin.
Kevin Kiner. Yeah, he was Ralph Kiner. Is he a baseball player? He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, Kevin Kiner.
His little brother.
Yeah, right. I love the piano that they had in there when the initial beginning of when they were killing people, the Sith agents or Sinister agents. The piano was awesome.
Those first episode had really, really good pacing. I didn't realize that Dave Filoni could do direct live action that well. He's not the editor, but I'm saying at least everything looked pretty close to like a theatrical stuff. I mean, aside from that ship obviously being fake at the beginning.
Yeah, the ship
Scholars had to crap on. But it's since you said that, I thought the pacing of the second episode drug on a little bit.
Comparatively speaking, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. I liked the story that it told, but yeah, they spent a lot of time being mysterious and it's like, okay, we get it. What's the point of this? What are we doing with this? But I find the villains intriguing. I like the fact that, you know, they're throwing in little things like they were talking about the hyperdrive from that Super Star Destroyer in there, and they're going to put it in that giant ring that looks like a humongous version of a hyperspace ring that the Jedi starfighters were using in prequel trilogy, that they're going to need that to put in there to go find Thrawn to wherever he's been banished. And I like that they keep using that term because that sounds less like Ezra grabbed him and snatched him out of there and they're trying to find their way back to some other entity has intentionally stuck him there and said, you are to never come back. Cause that's what banished means. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I don't know. I find that an interesting choice of words. So like, is he able to come back like physically, but is not quote unquote allowed to? I don't know, man.
One of our viewers on YouTube mentioned that this is the first time ever that we hear of another galaxy. Because she said that he's in another galaxy. We've never heard Star Wars talk about another galaxy.
In live action. Huh. Interesting. I never really thought about it, but yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
So
it's not like wild space where he's at. It's like he's in another
fucking
universe.
Yeah.
Well,
and that would make sense because if he was in wild space, if anybody can get out of it, it would be him. He'd figure out a way.
But the Eye of Sion, that's a cool name.
Yeah.
Cool name for a ship. I like, one of the things I really liked is how they touched on that the ex-Imperials, you're looking too far into how loyal you think they were to the Empire.
Yeah.
It's just a job. This is the side that they thought was right. And then when it turned out it wasn't, okay, our bad. And I think so many people in real life can relate to that. You know, just I'm not all in to all their evil machinations. This is the life I know, and here's where I work, and here's what I do kind of thing. They're not all you know, zealots. They're not all Emperor Palpatine fanboys. And so, yeah, that's a natural why they can work and exist in this New Republic. And the fact that they mentioned, you know, that it doesn't change overnight. And right. Without those people, none of this would be happening.
Right. There's still a few that are crazy zealots and nutcases, because the guy that got up, it's a long live the Empire, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, for the Empire.
Yeah. Yeah.
That reminded me so much of that scene in Rogue One, for Jedha, where plainly nobody in that ship said that. They did it after the fact. But you know, then the fact too, that it turns out that the very guy telling him that's actually, you know, a bad guy.
Yeah.
Who's like in on the take, man. That was a cool touch. It's very nice. I really like the physical things, like her manipulating the stuff at the beginning, trying to find the map, like actually watching it happen, that she was touching real stuff and, you know, holding that ball in her hand and how like it all moved like this interlocking puzzle. It was, I don't know, that did a really good job of developing the mystery that is all that stuff. That scene that we were just looking at where she's running and everything's getting ready to blow up because those HK droids are in self-destruct mode. The Predator's laughing while you're running away. And she's just all calm. No, you're going to keep flying. Just put the ramp down, but keep going. It just, you know, like she wasn't even out of breath. And so let's talk about this real quick. Her lightsabers at the very beginning, when she is doing the thing and she's like spinning around real fast to make herself drop through, and how that all looked and played out. Anybody got any opinions on it?
I liked what they did with it. I liked the fact that we saw it in the preview, but we didn't see how she utilized trapping those droids in there. Mm-hmm. I thought the play was cool. Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Yeah. So one thing I thought was really neat is that you probably recognize the voice immediately. Anybody who watched Rebels, and that's Ryder Azadi, who the whatever his position is in the new, you know, the new Lothal, he's in charge of the town, whatever they called him. You know, that it's the voice actor who played him in the show, and it's Clancy Brown, who was also in The Mandalorian, and who is also Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob.
And Highlander too, right, Les?
Yeah, he's the Kurgan in Highlander, the first villain.
And so, you know, that's cool to see him. And then the droid, Hu Yang, that's the same voice as it was in the Clone Wars, because he was the one that like helped the Padawans make their sabers.
Droid was super cool, man. Yeah. I mean,
I like that design. I like how it looks old, but he's in good shape, and 75% original parts.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like how they so organically let you know that Sabine isn't strong with the Force.
But she still has the Force. That's surprised me. She's not strong with the Force, but she has something there. Correct? Is that what you got out of it?
I honestly think that most people do.
Okay. Everybody has some.
Everybody's got some. It's just, but you know, because he says that every other Padawan far superior to you in this department. So I think it's kind of like everybody knows how to walk that walks, you know what I mean? But not everybody's an Olympic sprinter.
So does that mean anybody can become a Jedi?
Well,
if she trains as a Jedi, that means any Joe Schmo could, because he has some Force, can become a Jedi.
I don't know, man. That's a real
fine.
That's a great.
Everyone can punch. Area. Not everyone can become a professional boxer.
Right, but she's training to become a Jedi. She's a Padawan.
She must not be that bad. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. There's got to be exactly. Thank you.
I mean, because what makes Jedi? Is it the ability to do things with the Force? Or is it the ability to fight?
The real definition?
I don't know. And you have to decide what that means. Because like Ahsoka, one of the things I saw in this post was, you know, talking about how it seemed like she used a mind probe to find out some information.
Oh, Oh, okay.
You know, like yeah. where the map was, that whole bit. Mm-hmm. How'd you get her to talk? Well, you know, what are you going to do? But
not Jedi things.
Yeah. Said. What? Yeah. What is that implication? Because we've always that's always been like a bad guy thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Except for it didn't in the Clone Wars, there was an episode or two where the Jedi were using a mind probe on somebody, a prisoner, trying to get some information out of them, like critical. But, you know, they justified it because it was going to save all these lives. Mm-hmm. But so and I know this is an unpopular thing to go toward, but any negatives, any minuses for you guys on the show?
Boo, you want to take this?
No, that nothing really. I dug the show. I dug it a ton. I know some people didn't like it. I couldn't see why. I could see how it could. I don't know. It seems like it's a good mix in between the seriousness and what's really going on with Andor. You know, kind of like the dark stuff and kind of like the lighter tone of Mando, you know, with the kid and stuff like that. You got the cat thing, you know, the cuteness of that. You know, somebody gets stabbed, you know, spoiler warning, the first fucking episode, which was I was like, what happens if she gets stabbed right here in the first episode? And then 2 minutes later, she's just fucking shanked. So I was like, oh, shit. There
we
go. You
know what's cool about that is when he said Obi-Wan always tries to use non-violence. You don't need to see our identification. And he's like, let me show you our identification. And she just goes on a fucking rampage. Complete opposite.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think there's any issues with the show. It the second episode did drag, and some of the writing, maybe a little bit of the acting of people's interaction with each other seems a little less than cold. Kind of just seems kind of just not much there. Like if these people knew each other, it doesn't seem like they're close at all for spending time. I never saw Rebels, so I can't say anything, you know, too definitive, but it just seemed kind of like they were just leaning more towards robotic kind of thing. I don't know.
I heard that today, Boo, about Hera, that she wasn't that bummed. She wasn't that excited that Ezra could be alive, or she wasn't like, kind of like the difference. Sabine was like, oh my God, like in her face. And Hera didn't have the same thing, even though in the show, in the animated series, she was devastated that he left. But I mean, that's, you know, a lot of time has passed and maybe she's forgot about him, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for the rest.
Yeah, me too.
I'm excited about it. Everything looks neat. You know, like right there, we see the E-wings that they brought in. That was cool.
It's so cool.
It all looks good. And one thing that always impresses me, like with effect shots like that, or when it's in broad daylight mm-hmm. like that, that's part of what makes it look so good, you know, but
right. They're getting mm-hmm. so good at that.
But
except
yeah,
for the ship that you didn't like.
That yeah. Was, the ship. That wasn't no really like I almost turned off the stream. I was like, this is obviously not a real
I thought we were Star watching Wars spaceship. Episode 2, you know, the beginning of episode 2, you're like, oh, this is animated.
No, yeah, I thought it was Battlestar animated. Galactica at first, 1977. I was like, dude, I'm done.
Oh, I must have accidentally turned on an episode of the Clone Wars.
Oh, Disney so one Plus, thing, I must have made a mistake.
One thing I was considering was never sharing my opinion on anything and breaking it in. So, you know, maybe we'll go that route.
Look, it was funny. Cool. I think Eric, on our reaction when we saw the ship, we're like, oh, we like this. This is rad. I think we got really excited.
Yeah. We're like,
Les is like, oh, it feels like old Star Wars. Well, and we're like,
and
yeah,
the first thing you said, you're like, that ship looked lame. We're like,
that is not exactly what I said. It's
your words were, this is ruining Star Wars. That's what you said.
Not my Star Wars.
This is not
my Star Wars.
Exactly. Look what Disney took from us.
Yeah. Look what Filoni did to us.
Yeah.
What was there? I do love her ship, though. Yeah, I think that's badass, man. I mean, it's making me like want to buy something if it's out there. Maybe it'll be out like in 4 years.
So here's a question. Let's talk about ship real quick. Okay. So we saw Hera fly the little, it's the Spectre.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
That's the one that docks with the ghost, right? We see her flying that.
Oh,
Chopper's in there hanging off the side, and she's doing her whole thing, right? That ship is fast and capable of leaving the ground and flying in atmosphere and apparently in space as well.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So why do other ships need to be so big and there's so much extra stuff, like comparatively considering what the inside of it looks like there's a lot more fluff? And so when you see a ship like Ahsoka's, which don't get me wrong, I think it's really cool. I'm just saying, in universe, how do you explain, for example, the need for that wing to go from vertical to horizontal? What's the point? In space, it doesn't matter. It's frictionless.
I think it's parking. I even said that. I said that, right? Well, I said, look, that thing can dock at anywhere. It's pretty pretty cool, man.
Dock and a pencil holder.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? And plus, it probably HasLab can make it. That's probably why they did it.
Well, you know, HasLab's making a ghost.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
it was funded in the first 20 seconds, just about. I don't know. Oh, I haven't even looked to see. Is that campaign still active? I mean, it was already
funded. Sure.
But, I knew it was going to hit the stretch goals. So let's just look while we're talking about it. Anything else? Anybody got anything else they want to talk about with this?
I'm just excited, man. It feels like... It felt like film production. The production value was so well done. I thought it was, I can't wait. I cannot wait for the rest of this. And we got so many different things. We're like joking about flashbacks and how many cool flashbacks they could possibly do with like a scene from Rebels with Ezra and Kanan. Maybe they can bring a Kanan. Like there's so many amazing flashbacks. And hopefully we get one with Anakin. You know, the rumor is Anakin's all somewhere, Vader's somewhere in this thing. So let's see. And we haven't even... Thrawn. I mean, we're not going to see Thrawn probably for a long time, and they're going to build up to it. And I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait.
Zeb.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge Zeb fan on the show. I actually hated his guts. But when I saw him, and I mean, I'm not a big Zeb fan. But let me tell you, when I saw him in Mandalorian, I could not believe they pulled it off. So bring on Zeb.
Yeah.
Bring on.
I'm just more like seeing like most of the Rebels all back together would be kind of cool.
The Phantom is the name of that little pocket ship, by the way.
The Phantom.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Ghost and Phantom. But, I mean, can you imagine if we get the Rebels back? That would be amazing.
Yeah, it seems
like Eric, I don't know what happened to Eric there for a second. I saw his eyes just.
Yeah, like, yeah, like a moment.
I know. I don't know what I did. I say something? I don't know.
That'd be. Seeing the mural in real life, I mean, obviously it's still a cartoon, but seeing how that they can look at it and they're seeing the same thing we are, that's a nice touch, man.
That was so cool. Really like that. And we got to see it at Comic-Con this year. It was super cool. Did they have it in London, Boo? They did, yeah. Did you touch Ezra's face? Like Sabine?
I didn't personally see it, but I was told it was there, yes. Yeah,
okay.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about how Sabine...
I keep fucking forgetting, bro.
Thanks for bringing up old wounds, Raj. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
I didn't realize that he had done that.
I know. I totally forgot.
Do you want me to cut the lemon for you that you're going to squeeze into the wound? Do you want that? You want lime or lemon? Want me to roll it around and get the juice really flowing inside there?
I think it was a Tapatio in there.
Yeah, yeah. Might as well. Fuck it. What do you prefer?
He's probably Tabasco. Thinking that they had it like at LAX or something when you got your passport, like you saw it before then.
It was there. Yeah. They had a whole Star Wars thing. Do you prefer Cholula? You know, Frank's Red Hot.
I totally
Hot.
Blanked that, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, you're
I think
good.
I've done
you're
that good. Twice now.
Yeah. I'm fucking with you. You're good.
So, update on the HasLab Ghost, the vintage collection Ghost. The funding ends in 13 days, 23 hours, and 48 minutes. It has 11,230 backers, which exceeds the target, the go target of 8,000.
Wow.
So okay. How about that? It's $500. It's okay. Ginormous. It's the biggest ship they've made, or will wow. be the biggest ship they've made. Yeah. So limit 5 per customer, everybody. So if you're getting in there,
damn it, that sucks.
You probably better hurry up. But here's what you get with it. If anybody's interested, you get the Vintage Collection Ghost Vehicle, the Vintage Collection Exclusive Carded 3¾-inch General Hera Syndulla figure with 3 accessories.
Oh, wow.
Unlock number 1. So where is? So does that mean these have all been unlocked? Hang on, let me see. Unlock number 1, the exclusive carded Ezra Bridger. Unlock number 2, exclusive carded Kanan Jarrus. I'd love to have that.
Nice, that'd be cool.
And unlock number 3, exclusive carded Zeb Aurelius, 3¾-inch scale.
Fuck that guy.
Oh, don't even, man.
Prove me wrong, Zeb. Prove me wrong in this show. Do something.
Prove me wrong.
Your big ass feet.
Zeb does not need to prove anything to you. Do you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay, so 11,000 was the first unlock. And so they've got that. The threshold number 2 for Kanan is 14,000 backers. And how many did I say there were? 13,000 and something?
Mm-hmm. What does Zeb have,
11,000.
Oh, I said 11,000?
Yeah.
Dang it. People get 11, on board.
230.
That means we've
13
got
13 days.
We've got Ezra. Right? You know what's cool about those carded figures, man, is that the card artwork is the mural artwork instead of a photograph.
Cool. Yeah, that is cool.
And so Kanan is at 14,000 and then Zeb is at 17,000.
Zeb has more than Kanan.
Yeah. Well,
I think what's happening. Please, Eric.
No, go ahead.
No.
What were you going to say?
I don't even know what I was going to say.
Oh, that's right. So I wonder if it's because like that Zeb is just, there's so much more plastic. So they're like, you know, because he's ginormous. So they're like, okay, we'll only have to make this if they really go the distance. Of course, you know, these figures are going to be for sale. This is just the exclusive card.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Because nobody's, don't open them if you get them. If you buy this and it has those, don't open those things.
No. Unless it's Zeb, then you can open them. Hey,
we should start a petition to get them to switch Ezra and Zeb. Like, have Zeb come out now, because that's what people want. And then have Ezra be at like the 20,000, 24,000, whatever they got going.
All that plastic is on his feet. Big ass feet.
Listen, when you're giant, you got to have giant feet to hold you up. So, but yeah, he has big old feet. But anyhow, that'll be neat. I hope they get them all, man, because I'd like to have all of them.
I wonder if Hasab to make a life-size Rafa. I'll buy that shit.
Well, we officially crossed the line into Creepy Town.
She don't got big feet.
That ghost is gonna look so good sitting next to my it wasn't called the Vintage Collection at the time, it was called something else, my Millennium Falcon, and also my whatever the Mandalorian ship was called. I don't even remember now.
The Razor Crest.
Yeah, it's gonna look real good sitting next to those on my shelf. Oh, and my sail barge too.
Yeah, the sail barge one. That thing is like the G.I. Joe. The flag,
the SS. Oh, aircraft carrier.
Aircraft carrier, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so come on, people, get on board.
Well, great, 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 great 2 episodes. I'm down for this. Can't wait till Tuesday. Guys, subscribe and watch us. We're going to be there watching every Tuesday, and we're going to get some sleep this time so we won't look so tired. The next day on Wednesday for recording. So that's very, very cool. So yeah, some people commented, hey, I'm so glad you guys are getting sleep. They know our struggle.
I'm sure you guys prefer the 6 p.m. thing. Do you guys miss anything from the midnight releases?
I mean, I only miss the fact
that, numbers.
Yeah. I only miss the fact that it's always cool to be the first like 2 or 3 out. You know, And then you look at, you like, you type in like a Mandalorian reaction and it's only like you plus three people, you know, but now it's like me plus 1,054 people, but us, I mean, but yeah, so that's it. But no, I like being at 6 o'clock. I mean, I put Malik to sleep earlier, you know, priorities, even though
his bedtime dad's got to go watch a show. Time for you to go to bed.
You're feeling tired, Malik, aren't you? Okay, let's go. So, yeah.
Dad's got to go to work.
Yeah, dad's got to go to work. But, yeah, man, stoked. We got an email from Lumberjack Nick. But it said, hey, y'all. So, I've been trying to get my girls into Star Wars since they were born. For a long time, my eldest, whenever asked if she liked Star Wars, would say no, quote unquote. And everybody would laugh. The laughing just reinforced the response. She had an Ahsoka doll. We got a Galaxy's Edge when it first opened and recently has been showing interest in it. So I've been slowly building her interest up in Ahsoka, hoping to make it a bridge to Star Wars overall. So today we sit down to watch the brand new Ahsoka show that just came out, if you didn't know. We literally 2 seconds into the Lucasfilm logo, she asked me to turn it off. Oh, well, back to the drawing board.
Brutal.
Lumberjack Nick. Lumberjack Nick.
Hey, you're not kidding.
Sorry about that, buddy. I've been doing the same with Malik. And he likes Star Wars, which is great. But he'd rather watch Paw Patrol right now, which is cool. It's all good. Chase and Crash and Rubble or whatever the hell they're called. I'm down with some Paw Patrol. But he will. He definitely will be into Star Wars. He has no choice at all. But Lumberjack, keep on pushing it, man. It will hit one day. They'll get past the Lucasfilm logo. Very cool intros, by the way. They are incorporating the droids and some of the characters from the show inside the intro where they have a little fanfare thing. Any other takes, Eric? No, we're good. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thanks, buddy.
Lumberjack Nick's take, but King Tom's take next week, which would be great. All right, guys, let's finish this up with some bits.
Okay, we'll give you bits.
Bits, bits better be bits.
Oh yeah, it's bits, Mike. It's bits, I tell you. It's bits.
I just kibbled my bits.
Yeah, not much out there. Not much at all. But got a couple things. Not much. Hey. Yikes. Right.
Wait, can we get that? I'm sorry. Can we get that one more time?
With the boobits? There's a little secret. There's a little secret at the very end if you really look. It's really quick. Well,
after credit scene. Yeah.
There is. It's real quick for the Patreon. You got to it's
bitch, better be bitch.
Oh, yeah, it's bitch, Mike. It's bitch, I tell you. It's bitch.
I just kibbled my bits.
Okay. Did you see that? Did you guys see that?
Just for the patrons. Yeah.
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 That's new, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I was bored at work.
Uh huh. Yeah. Speaking of new things.
Oh, that's a segue.
There it is.
That's a segue. We haven't had that in a while.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had anything to segue to. Keanu Reeves is going to host, he's developed it already, and he's going to host an F1 documentary series for Disney Plus. So he's going to be going around different F1 teams, how the cars are made, the different aspects of the sport and stuff like that. F1 has grown in the U.S. steadily. They're having the Vegas Grand Prix or something like that in November.
That's going to be crazy, dude.
That's going to be fucking nuts.
I don't know how they're going to do that, but they're doing it.
It's pretty cool. I've seen a few things on it. It's pretty awesome.
It goes right in front of our timeshare, by the way.
Yeah. They're going to build a wall right in front of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's
happened. I know. I asked about that last time we were in Vegas. I was like, that's pretty shitty. They're like, it's for safety. I'm like, no, it's not. But okay, that's fine. Moving on. Right. So he's developing that show and it comes out. When does it come out? No release date yet. Never mind. No release date.
Sources. Are you gonna watch Gran Turismo?
No, I've been every time Brittany and I go to the movies, we see the Gran Turismo trailer and the Blue Beetle trailer, and I ask her which one you want to see, and she's like, "Fucking Turismo all day." I'm like, "All right."
Based on a true story.
Yeah. It actually is. It is kind of a cool story. I've heard David Harbour's really good in it.
Yeah,
he's good in a ton. Yeah. Something out or something that is already out in theaters. Barbie. Raj, you just saw it. You missed it, though. You could have seen it in IMAX. Barbie and IMAX for 1 week only, starting September 22nd.
I'll go back.
And it'll have a new post-credit footage.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll get people...
Ryan Gosling, by the way. Good guy.
Yeah, he was actually really good. He was incredible in that.
It was really good.
And
the guy from Secret Invasion, the villain, was in it.
He had a big role in it. Yeah, he's one of the Kens.
One of the Kens.
Yes.
I like when he turns around and after he gets like jacket or something. That he has like that like deep voice.
Oh yeah. When he gets his fur jacket. Yeah.
We're just waiting for
that was awesome.
The fur jacket. If anybody hasn't seen The Flash or still wants to see it again, I haven't seen it. It comes out on HBO Max August 25th.
Oh, okay.
So there you
go.
I'll
watch it on there.
Okay.
What's going on with HBO shows being on Netflix? Have you noticed
they signed a deal where they're going to not share, but HBO is going to be like, yeah, you could put some shows on there. Like Band of Brothers is going on Netflix soon. A bunch of other shows. Just like some licensing stuff. Like
Sopranos is on there, I think.
Yeah. A few other shows. Yeah. Like the real big shows are going to be on there. Stuff like that. And they'll cycle things in and out.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Isn't that like part of an industry wide where they're just going to kind of like not have exclusives anymore?
You might be right. Cause I think I saw some Disney stuff on another. Some
Disney stuff is going to start finding its way there too. Yeah. I think they're going to pretty much stop with the like exclusive thing. I think
it's all work together. Screw the actors and directors.
Pretty much.
Somehow, some way.
Yeah. Pretty much. Speaking of streaming services, the show Monarch, the Godzilla spinoff, something I'm very excited for.
You're very pumped up.
Wait a minute. So it stars Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell. Aha, see? Yeah. There you go.
Kurt so Wyatt gets me to do the role.
Yeah, exactly. See, it's legit. So the reason why they're both on the show is that they will be playing the same character over a period of 50 years.
That's kind of genius.
Yeah. There you go. See?
Maybe they should have done that in Guardians, in the intro to the... Was it Guardians 2? Right? Where they had a CGI Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. That wasn't too good. But I can't say anything.
It's better than that goddamn ship in Ahsoka. Ha, 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 ha.
Well done. Full circle.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Not much else. I got one more bit. This is mainly for the UFO fans out there. Yeah. Mainly for the UFO fans out there, my dad included. He's a real big UFO guy. Steven Spielberg's production company is launching a four-part documentary on UAPs. Unidentified aerial phenomenon?
If you want to be specific.
And / UFOs in September on Netflix.
No actors, no scripts. Why not?
Fuck it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. Yeah. Ain't got much else going on out there.
We're
going
to have a lot of this. Martin Scorsese is talking about Stray Dogs. He's gonna do a documentary about gangster dogs in Boston and in New York. I don't know.
I'd love a documentary on the cat
Yeah, I'd love the documentary on the cat from The Godfather.
Yes, that would be amazing.
I'd watch the shit out of that. Like, this is great.
Stop fucking stroking my head, old man.
Yeah,
take
exactly.
The cotton balls out of your mouth, you creep.
Yeah. I'm just looking for a piece of cake from the wedding. All right, get the fuck out of here. Look for scraps.
We don't have no writers. Martin Scorsese, yeah, no. Mafia dogs.
Mafia dogs. That'd be rad. That'd be so rad. I think I'm going to AI script. I'm going to do that. Chat GPT.
Mob dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mob dogs. Yeah. Written mob in style. Scorsese. And I'll even
mob,
make like
mob
a
mutts.
Poster for it on Midjourney. Oh, yeah. I'm all about it. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Before the government shuts us down, I'm gonna end my boo bits there. That's all I got.
Hey, that's more than I thought you would have, buddy. They
me
better
too.
Be bits. They were bits, dude. We haven't done this all day. I mean, it has to be like a weekly thing. Just make us laugh. Sorry, Steel. Oh, guys, this was a fun one. And I don't have a song to put in the background right now. So I guess that'll be in post and you guys will hear it. For you Patreon members, you will not, because I'm just putting this on video. But other than that, guys, thanks for listening. 368 is in the books. We will be here next week, obviously, hopefully with a full crew. Eric, where can people find you?
Check out my other podcasts. I almost said The Bad Motivators. Dinner with the Healers, a blue podcast I do with my family. And look for me streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/mouserat2217.
Nice. Boo, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Sith Liz Boo.
All right. Les.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter.
It's the only song I have right now, guys, so I'm sorry.
That's all good. Find me on Twitter at LesMore78 and also on this podcast and our YouTube channel.
Nice. Randy, where can people find you?
YouTube.com/TheSithList, where we do reactions.
Well, Andor house music. Sitting at a beach, waiting to get arrested. You can find me, guys, at SithList. Anywhere social media is found. Check us out YouTube. We're going to be doing all of Ahsoka every week. Come check us out. Subscribe, like, comment. Be a part of the family, Sith Listers. And we'll catch you next week right here on episode number 369 of The Sith List.
We used to be number 10, now we permanent one.
In the battle lost my finger, Mike became a horn. Push the nozzle into nature, blood becomes the form.
Tell him, Uma be easy, now squeeze the shawarma. Test why
clap, see that flesh get scorned.
Be so bad, make you feel like you ain't wanna be born.
Join,
and tell your friends, stay the hell out of my chicken George. Became the George, stealing chicken from my form.
Damn! Another dead pigeon. If you're mafiosis, then I'm bringing on Haitians. Until nobody's shooting, my body's made of hand grenade. Girl bled to death while she was Dunkin's in the razor blade. Sounds sick, maybe one day I'll write a horror. Blackula comes living ghetto. Jackson Acura. Stevie Wonder sees crack babies becoming enemies of their own family. Armageddon, come, you know we soon done. Gun by my side just in case I got the rum. A boy on the side of Babylon trying to front like you die. Come on. Come on,
ooh, la la la. Come on. It's the way that we rock when we doing our thing. Ooh, la la la. It's the natural law that the refugee brings. Ooh, la 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 la. So we take
it. She love me like she never before.
Yeah, it's the loons. We drink booze and battle goons. The high noon watch rap tools or basketballs. Take them shorts like boom boom. Gucci's by Gucci's for Gucci's and Lucci. Find me in my Mitsubishi. It's Gucci bumping Fuji's. Hey. Gotta take the crew and we don't play. Say. Like Paul McCartney, now hardly. Look enough, I can see right through your bluff.
It's huffing and puff,
but they can't handle us.
We bust.
Cause we fortified, I can never hide. Singly hot, ride with cold cheese dot. I'm twisted, blacklisted by some other Negroes. Don't remove my polo on the first episode. You shouldn't diss refugees. And you hold sounds that booty. And you have
have to respect Jersey. When I'm super fly, when I'm super high on the moon, she fly. Ooh la la la, it's the way that we rock when we doing our thing. Ooh la la la, it's the natural law that the rap you did bring. Ooh la 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 la. Sweet team.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I said 90 degrees on the Nepal trees. Smoking beanies as I burn my calories. Brooklyn rooftop, pick up Brooklyn to be. Who that be? Enemy, winners, and death for me. From Hawaii to Hawthorne, I run marathons like Wushu Bantan, I'm a true champion. Like Farrakhan reaches Delhi, Quran, it's a phenomenon. Hey yo, what's going on? I'm a gang to come, you know we soon done. Gun by my side, just in case I got the rum. A boy on the side of Babylon, trying to front like it down with Mount Zion. Yeah. What's going on? I'm a gang to come, you know we soon done. Gun by my side, just in case I got the rum. A boy on the side of Babylon, trying to front like it down with Mount Zion. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh la la la. Chip long blank. We rock when we doing our thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.